Today on Real Radio.
The Christian man stands on the Word of God. This is available to all of us. We are so blessed we can read this anytime, all the time. To stand on the Word of God means that we become listeners. This is something that we have got to reclaim, or else all is lost. We have lost the art of listening.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series called Life and the Bible, a collection of topical studies taken from scripture passages that instruct us and give us examples of how to live as believers in an unbelieving world. Some of the titles in this series, Being a Christian at Your Job, Being a Christian in Your Relationships, and so forth. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs in a study called Being a Christian While Being a Man.
But most Christians today would look at 1 Samuel 17 and say, you know what, I think I would plead the fifth. I wouldn't get involved. Jesse says to his little boy, David, go see how your brothers are doing. They're at the battle. They're at war. Okay. He's got a little big lunch, actually, for his brother and all the guys, brothers. He goes there, and David shows up, young guy, he shows up, and Goliath is on the other side of the hilltop, and Israel, the Philistines are pitted off together for war, and David shows up, and all you can hear is, in the words of David, this uncircumcised Philistine blaspheming the name of the God of Israel. And David says, look, David, excuse me, is anyone going to do anything about this? Oh, he's really big. I can see that he's big. But is anybody going to do anything about this? He's blaspheming God. No, we're just going to stand here in our armor and everything. You know, you can have all the armor in the world, but if you don't have the will to fight, you're worthless. And David says, you know what? I'm gonna go out there. God gave me the ability to kill a bear and a lion. I'm gonna go take care of this guy. And the Bible says that David confronts Goliath and runs toward Goliath. David runs toward him. Can you imagine running toward the problem? 9 feet tall. Hey! And he runs toward Goliath, takes one of the five stones, because Goliath had four brothers and their names are found in the Bible. They must have been in the vicinity. Throws that sling around, releases that rock, and personally, I mean, look, it's an impossible thing. A kid with a rock going up against a 9 foot, 9.5 foot tall Philistine warrior, champion. So, yeah, but Jack, the Bible says the rock hit him in his forehead. It did hit him in the forehead. It also says that the rock sank into his forehead. You can't do that. I mean, I've seen that sling thing in Israel. Pretty cool. I think an angel got behind that rock. Can you imagine? David just, dear God, bless this. And an angel gets behind that rock and just plants it right into Goliath's head. He falls down. He's not dead. Didn't say he's dead. The rock didn't kill him. Knocked him out. Then David gets on top of the guy, gets Goliath's sword, and cuts his head off. Can you imagine a kid with a gigantic sword? How many times did he have to... That had to be something. Yikes. You say, what does that have to do with getting involved in stuff and standing in and all that kind of thing and standing with and standing up and standing out and that? Because far too long, we've lost our culture. Our culture's probably lost because we've watched it go by. And it has had a greater impact on us than our Christianity has had in the culture. And there are giants, you guys. There are giants that our young people are having to contend with in school every day. Cultural giants. And there's cultural giants that are slaying our marriages. They're slaying our kids. They're slaying our wives. It's horrific. And the sad thing is, if you live too much around that giant culture, you begin to get used to the size of the culture and its giganticness, and you don't see how bad it is anymore, and you just begin to be comfortable with it. Oh, look, a giant. It's true. And so we need to be very, very careful about that. A Christian man becomes a pillar and a rallying point and a patriot when he decides to stand with, that is to be on the right side of things and to make a difference. How in the world will we ever be salt and light unless we leave this building and take it to the work and take it to the school? Number six, the Christian man stands without, meaning blameless. A Christian man is to be blameless. You say, wait a minute, what do you mean blameless? No, the Bible talks about being blameless. So what does that mean? Jesus spoke about the meaning of it perfectly in Luke chapter 6, verse 22. Listen, blessed are you. Listen, happy are you. Church, listen. Happy are you when men hate you. That's what he said. And when they exclude you. When they, you're not going to be, get out of here. We don't like you anymore. The Christian breaks down and cries and has some sort of emotional fit. Jesus says, you know what? Be happy about it. They're rejecting, listen, they're rejecting you because of your association with me, Jesus is saying. He says, rejoice when they revile you and cast you out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy. Could you imagine that happening? Hey, Jack, what an idiot. Leap for joy, for indeed your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner their fathers did also to the prophets. Man, that is radical Christianity, is it not? And I'm not talking about being a nut. I'm not talking about walking into a store and saying, hey, everybody, I'm a Christian. You're all going to burn in hell. Don't do that. Don't do that, especially if you do that. Do not say you go to Calvary. I go to Calvary Chapel and you're all going to. Don't do that. Don't ever do that. Just live your life for Christ. You'll stand out and things will happen. And someone's going to say, hey, come on. Why don't you go to happy hour? No, it's okay. I don't need to go to happy hour. I'm happy enough. No, no, come on, come on. You know, just come on. And look, if you can't get out of it, this will freak them out. Hang on a second, you guys. You guys want me to go? Yeah, come on, man. We want you to go. Hang on a second. Yeah, babe. Hey, honey. Listen, the guys, they want me to go to happy hour. It's a business thing. They say, you know, whatever. I'll call you when I get there. I'll call you when I'm leaving. And I'll see you later, okay? Put the phone down and you go. And they're all going to have their gym or their Beam or their scotch and their tonic or whatever they do, and you just say, hey, you know what? I want Perrier. Give me some sparkling water. You got any Martinelli's? You don't have to drink. And guess what? You're in trouble. You are now in trouble because everyone's going, hey, man, come on. Hey, homie, yeah, party, dude. You're the best. Here, drink this. No, I got my Martinelli's. No, come on, drink it. No, my Martinelli's is fine. I like apple juice. No, come on, man. What's the matter? Are you too good for us? You'll be in trouble. And that's the kind of trouble you want to be in. I'd rather be in trouble with Jesus than be at peace with a hell-bent world. Guys, it's time for us to absolutely stand without, meaning that in this life, listen, they're going to attack us, but here's what the word about being blameless means in Scripture. They're going to accuse us, and they're going to say all kinds of evil against us, but the word means that the accusation bounces off you and falls on the ground. It doesn't stick. You ever seen those guys made out of Velcro, and they run and hit the wall? Okay? Well, imagine some guy with no Velcro running up and jumping on the wall, and he just falls right off. That's when somebody says, hey, you know what? You're a nincompoop. They'll say it, but there's not going to be any truth to it. But if you men live in fear of what they say, you will never, never get your wheels off the ground. And you'll walk in this little bit of terror all your life. Number 7, the Christian man stands firm. Guys, we need to stand firm. That is, never give up. I say that now. I give up every Sunday after third service. Did you know that? If it wasn't for my wife, I would have quit this 20 years ago. She picks me up with a spatula and stands me back up. That was the worst message I've ever heard in my life. I can't believe I said that. I can't even believe I used that verse. What kind of a dope am I? And she just burps me, changes me, puts me to bed. But we are to never give up. The beautiful thing is the Holy Spirit in your life won't let you give up. It's true. Man, we've tried to give up. Have we not tried to quit? We've tried to quit. Holy Spirit won't let us quit. Jeremiah tried to quit. I am not going to speak in your name anymore. And Jeremiah, I would love to have seen. He just sat there. And the Bible says that the word of God in him began to burn. Can you imagine? He's just on fire, man. And he had to proclaim the truth. Never give up. Listen, I was trying to get a picture, but you guys have all seen this picture. I wanted to drive this image into your head. Have you seen that picture of that insane man who's got the door open on the lighthouse with that wave hitting that lighthouse? Have you seen that picture? It's like everywhere. We couldn't get it. I wanted to show it to you. There's a little guy. He's like that, and the lighthouse is like that, and the wave is like that. Have you seen it? And the guy's like this. I don't think he had a clue that wave was coming. Standing there. Where was that taken? You know, how did they ever build that thing? That's what a Christian man needs to be like in his life. No matter what age you are, we need to be like that lighthouse picture, man. On a rock. Never give up. I'm afraid our young generation gives up too soon. They've never had to suffer for anything. I think about my dad, who was born in 1926, the suffering that he went through. And my dad was easily satisfied with anything all the time. My dad never had a toy. His parents never bought him a toy. You guys, they literally did not have Toys R Us. They had no toys. And they didn't care. They made stuff. And do you remember, for some of us oldies, do you remember how cool it was just to make something out of popsicle sticks and float it down the gutter? Oh, look at that. I mean, that's better than any toy we ever had. Until they invented Hot Wheels, and that was pretty amazing. But I just think in my generation, and now kids they got 25 gifts under the tree, and they open up 25 gifts. Is that all? We've never had to suffer. Now people are starting to suffer. And some people are getting strong and some people are freaking out. People are turning to their kids and they're saying, can't have the Xbox. But you know what we're going to do? We're going to go help our neighbors next door. Whatever it is. We need to, listen, suffer. Nobody wants to sign up for that, but it's true nonetheless because, listen, it helps us to stand firm, to never give up. Can you live without luxuries? There are now people, and it's going to be this way in America for who knows how long, if not forever, that people are going to have to learn how to live without a flat screen in every room. What? What is he, nuts? Is he crazy? Who could live like that? We need to stand firm. Number eight, we need to stand fast. Stand fast means this, to endure. We not only never give up, but number eight, we endure. A Christian man becomes a fighter, a contender, a warrior. 2 Corinthians, check this out. Can you imagine? I love this. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning at verse 23. Can you imagine if a church had this as an application form for a pastor? Are you guys hiring pastors? Yes, here. These are the requirements for a pastor that we'd like to hire. Okay. Verse 23, 1 Corinthians 11. Paul says, and they, ministering servants of Christ, the Messiah, I'm reading from the Amplified Version, I'm talking like one beside himself. I more, with far more extensive and abundant labors, with far more imprisonments. Can you imagine? We'd like to hire you as a pastor. Have you ever been in prison? No. Sorry, you don't qualify. Beaten with countless stripes and frequently at the point of death, 5 times I received from the hands of the Jews 40 lashes, but one. That means 39 because they had to spare one. 3 times I've been beaten with rods. Once I was stoned, not with drugs, with real rocks. 3 times I have been aboard a ship, wrecked at sea. A whole night and a day I have spent adrift in the deep. I've been to the Mediterranean in the middle of the night. It is terrifying. And Paul was in the water. A day and a night in the deep, many times on journeys, exposed to perils from rivers, perils from bandits, perils from my own nation, perils from the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in deserted places, perils at the in sea, perils from those posing as believers but destitute of Christian knowledge and piety, in toil, hardships, watching often means never going to sleep, never having a chance to sleep, in hunger, in thirst, frequently driven to fasting by lack, in cold, exposure, lack of clothing, and besides those things that are without, there is the daily inescapable pressure of my care and anxiety that I have for the churches. Signed, Paul the Apostle. Could you imagine? You cannot send someone to college to get this experience. Endure. We need to learn how to endure, guys. We got to teach our ladies. How are we going to teach them? We can make it. Right now we say, we can do it. And she's thinking, you clown, you haven't done it. What have you suffered? Follow me. She's thinking, where are we going? You haven't been anywhere. Number nine, the Christian man stands on, meaning the Word of God. This is available to all of us. We are so blessed. We can read this anytime, all the time. Why is that important? How does that happen? Listen, this is a big one. To stand on the Word of God means that we become listeners. This is something that we have got to reclaim, or else all is lost. We have lost the art of listening. And this is a tough one. I've shared with you guys before in our earlier part of our series. I don't know how it is for a woman. I'm not a woman. I don't know how that works. But guys have a hard time. We have such an incredible power to not listen. You know what I'm talking about? It is true, and it's terrible to confess this, but if I'm not interested in something, or if I'm distracted, okay? And I've been like this since the littlest of ages, and I don't look at me like, oh, Pastor. You have been the same way, where my wife can be talking to me, and I'm looking right at her. And the lips are moving. Her lips are moving. And I am absolutely somewhere else. I wonder what the temperature is outside. It's like, what am I doing? Guys, you know what I'm talking about? It's hard for us to listen. We have to nurture that. And then if that's not bad enough, we've got the young generation who they think it's a sin to sit in silence. When's the last time a young person, hey, leave me alone, don't call me, don't text me, I'm turning everything off. I'm just going to sit before the Lord, man. That's normal Christianity, to sit silent before the Lord and wait and to let your thoughts be cleansed out until there's nothing there, it's just silence. I mean, you can almost hear the crickets. And then that still small voice begins to come. Too many of our young people have never taken 30 minutes of silent time alone and just focused on His Word. But we all must do this, guys. James 1:25 says, "But he who looks into the perfect law of the liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in all that he does." It's not enough to go to a Bible study. God wants us to live it. Number 10, we end right here. The Christian man stands now. Well, when do we do this? Now. When I say stand now, I mean ready at all times. And so listen, the Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 3, "For consider him, Jesus, who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls." In other words, look at Jesus. This sounds sick because I'm such a wimp, but the other day I had to go get a blood test. And you know how you're supposed to fast before you do that? So I hadn't eaten. Go there. And the lady pulls out a needle. It's so small, I could barely even see the needle. She pulls out a needle, but you know what's in my mind? I'm going to get stuck with a needle. That's in my head. She's got a needle. I'm strapped to this chair. She's got all the power. She's going to stab me. Who is she? I'm thinking, who is she? All these thoughts. And now, I have to look away. What a wimp! And now I'm all hyped up in my head. She's going to stick me any minute. A metal object's going through my skin into a vein. And it happens. And you know what I had to think about because I'm such a wimp? Jesus endured harder things than this. Can you believe that? Jesus endured worse things than this. I can make it. Jesus endured worse things than this. Book of Hebrews says, chapter 12, we'll make it. Jesus endured harder things than these. And we have not resisted against sin to the point of death. Huh? We have not resisted against sin to the point of death.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a study called Being a Christian While Being a Man, a valuable examination of several scripture passages that speak on this topic, and part of a series we're presenting here on Real Radio called Life and the Bible, which will continue on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now, this is a series our teacher recently concluded and is now available for purchase in either CD or DVD. You can visit us at realradioactive.org to find out more. realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Of course, all of our contact information can be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous support of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.